Welcome to the One Speed MMA Cop Podcast with yours truly.
You don't say peas, we talk about that.
I don't say much of anything. Flying Smitty.
Carson Wood.
And?
Ray Sawyer.
Ray Sawyer, you're back. We convinced you somehow to come back.
Hey, I had fun last time, so it's good to be here.
That's good. See, everybody we invite onto the cast, Sean especially, people have fun. Race is now the pound-for-pound guest speaker.
He's been, well, guest Jordan speaker. Would have something to say about that, but we just know it's not Sean. Sean's his brother who defends Connor vehemently, but he will not come back on. He's a lawyer, so you think you would like arguing? Yeah. He won't come back on?
Won't do it, huh? Because he's a Connor fan?
Because he's a Connor fan. Because he basically won the belt and decided he never had to defend it.
Yep. Connor and Sean.
Connor and Sean.
There you go.
So you just recently, about what, a month ago now?
Yep, Thanksgiving.
Fought in Madison Square Garden.
Yeah.
So tell us all about it. Start to finish. You fly in, you get there, all of the signs and everything are everywhere.
We got kind of the run-up of you signing and everything.
Yes.
You talked about that last time, right? So we don't probably need to go over that. But like you said, just going out there and everything.
Sure. So, I mean, first off, fighting in New York compared to fighting in Utah and Texas is their medicals are just crazy. Like, so much more medical checks you got to do before they let you fight. And that's just the commission, right? So I had to go get MRIs and scans and a whole bunch of stuff, and that was a lot.
Would that deter you from going there again if there was something else available?
If it was, like, out in the middle of nowhere in New York, yeah, probably not. But there's nothing sexier than Madison Square Garden, so.
Do you have to pay out of pocket for that, or is that covered by the fight?
They covered all of it.
The card?
Yeah. Utah's a little different. Kind of depends on the promotion, but yeah, the promotion took care of all of it. No sweat. So that was cool. They flew us into JFK. So part of the trip was fun because I brought my wife and my daughter. She turned 13 on the trip.
Awesome.
So it was kind of like, hey, let's go do some fighting and then hang out in New York for the next couple of days. So
watch Hamilton, right?
Yeah. Saw Hamilton.
Hell yeah.
So
that was really fun.
Did you factor that into your contract? Like, cool, I'm going to come out to New York. You got to get me tickets to Hamilton or I'm not coming out.
Nah, my wife actually scored tickets to the Hamilton through a friend of hers, and they were like, what, 8 rows back, center stage, and they were like 150 apiece. So like, it's like a 10% of what it usually costs. So.
Yeah, I was going to say, isn't that relatively inexpensive?
Oh, yeah. It was dirt cheap. We got 3 tickets for what? Half of what one ticket usually costs, because it's usually $1,200 bucks a pop. So.
And how was the show?
Oh, it was so good.
I know almost nothing about Hamilton. I missed the Hamilton train.
Oh, yeah, you got to get on it. I mean, I've been dragged to plenty of musicals in my day. Now that we're talking on a fight podcast, but
hey, we talk about everything.
We went and saw what's the Cinderella one, Wicked, a year before. Just me and my wife, and so, like, it was cool, it was good, but Hamilton by far was 100 times better than Wicked.
There you go.
If anybody needs a reference of their
there you go.
We can move into talking about The Greatest Showman next, which was also awesome.
Was it?
But I like to get, yeah, so.
I was on the fence on that one. So
Zac Efron, man. I just can't get behind Zac Efron.
I am, I love musicals.
I mean, I could get behind Zac Efron, but.
We all could. I was really into musicals. I used to, like, sing Moulin Rouge in my basement in high school.
Nice.
So, you know, I would love a good musical, and I've heard great things about Hamilton, but...
I didn't see Moulin Rouge until I got married about 2 years ago. I mean, I got married 5 years ago.
I created a pop culture club based around it with Chase for Inside Baseball. Again, nobody knows Chase, but
yeah,
you do.
Good buddy of ours, yeah.
Sorry for the detour there.
No, exactly what this is all about.
It was super cool. So I showed up to Hamilton in my suit and a black eye and felt pretty good.
Actually, I went to prom with a black eye. Cotillion? I got a black eye from a Taking Back Sunday concert. I caught an elbow, and I went with Danielle Durbano. Once again, people, no idea. I had to go to a dance with a black guy. So I kind of feel, but nowhere near like being in New York at a huge musical with a black guy.
Yeah, no, it was cool. It was super, super fun. I actually asked my wife what was her favorite part about the trip as we were leaving, hoping she would said, you know, going to fight, watch this. She's like, Hamilton was awesome. I did yoga. I'm like, babe, we're here for my fight.
Well, you've been,
like,
that's
oh,
how,
yeah, that was cool too.
That's how you know how long you've been married. She's like, I'm going to tell you the truth. Like, I don't have to sugarcoat this anymore. I can tell you the truth about things.
I loved Hamilton.
Yeah. So, all right. So, back to the fight. So, you got there.
So, we fly into JFK, which is kind of crazy. It's a huge airport. Yeah. And they drive us in. And then if anybody's been to New York City, you guys know how just grand and amazing it is. So, the drive-in, super cool. Feeling like, you know, pretty cool. in this SUV with another group of fighters from Miami. So they flew in at the same time. So we drive. The hotel is super close to the Madison Square Garden. I could actually see it from the hotel room. So I pull in. It's, you know, massive. I think we're on the 21st, 22nd floor and looking down on MSG. It's nighttime already, so it's all lit up. Mm-hmm. So it was, you know, pretty surreal hanging out, looking out the window, seeing where I was going to fight. Next morning, wake up, you can see the Statue of Liberty out the window. New York, super cool. So I'm already, like, just on cloud nine and enjoying the experience. So that day, after we flew in, wake up, I have to cut weight. This is actually kind of a fun part of the story, right? So I don't have to cut a lot of weight. We're talking 5 pounds, which at home is super easy. You know, go to Lifetime Fitness, jump in the sauna, rotate hot tub, done, you know, hour, 2 hours, depending on how much you got to cut. No, there's a Planet Fitness, which does not have a sauna, does not have a hot tub. There's just treadmills right next to the hotel. So I'm like,
but they do have a judgment-free zone.
They do. And pizza on the way out. Right? Oh, geez. So I'm not really helping me out at all.
And pizza on the way out. That's awesome.
So I'm trying to do this. I'm trying to think, how am I going to do this weight cut? Because I really don't want to run on the treadmill. And I don't want to do the whole freaking, you know, sweatsuit kind of thing.
So we got to get you one of those toaster ovens. Have you seen those things?
Where you just sit inside of it, right?
Yeah, you look like a Mike Perry one.
Oh, yeah. That's what I needed. Didn't have one of those. My wife works at Lifetime Fitness, and there's a Lifetime Fitness that's super nice in New York City, but it was like a half hour away, and a half hour in New York traffic can go from a half hour to 4 hours real quick, right? And I don't really know the city, so I don't really want to do this, go to the gym, try and get back to the weigh-ins thing, because that just sounded way more stressful. So I just turn on the sauna, just turn the bathroom into, you know, just the shower, sorry, turn on the shower, and just turn it into a sauna. And just would rotate from that to towel baths. Like, I'm not sure if you've seen that, where you go and you just lay in your towels and jack the heat up in the hotel room. My daughter and my wife probably lost 5 pounds too. But it was kind of an interesting weight cut. Nice thing is there was a scale at the hotel, so I could check. And that's really, I would rather go without anything and know I had a scale to check my weight than to not have a scale and have all the things in the world. Because really, it's like, I just need to hit my number. Once I hit my number, I'm done.
Was it one of those? Grab some pizza on your way out.
Yeah. Was it one of those cheap
electronic scales?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, the promoter had a nice one set up in a room
in the hotel.
So fighters could just walk in and check.
Because I was going to ask that, if you have something like that, like how much leeway do you give yourself? It's like, ah, we got to make it 144 or whatever weight you're making, like 1 pound below. But if it's a pretty nice one, then you don't really have to deal with it.
Exactly. So it was a nice one set up, and that's why I was like, that was better than having a sauna, to be honest, because I didn't have a lot to do. But as long as I knew where I was at, it was easy to kind of stay in the rhythm.
So did you run into the guy you were going to fight in the hotel before? Like, no. As everyone's coming in and out?
No. I mean, New York City's busy, so there's a lot of people. Every once in a while, you'd see a guy in the elevator. It's like, yeah, that guy looks like a fighter based off of, you know, their logo on their shirt or whatever. But
and they're in their fight gear already and their robes and everything. their team money hat and all that.
Oh man, there's a few Russians to see the main event there, and they were pretty amped up and they were all psyched up, so it was pretty cool to see that.
That's all
that energy there.
So yeah, so the weight cut, you made weight.
Yeah, so I mean, we go into the weigh-in thing, and you got to do the doctor's check there too. And again, the level, I guess the level of care, I guess is a way to phrase it, was way higher than, annoyingly higher than in Utah. You know, the doctor looks in the eyes here in Utah, you know, checks for injuries and whatnot, asks you some questions, and then you're good to go. There, it was seriously a 15-20 minute conversation with the doc. They were asking me math questions. I'm like, man, I don't know this when I'm not dehydrated, and you're busting me here, like, remember certain number of sequences and stuff. Like, I was like, man, this is a lot of
ABCs backwards.
And one thing I didn't disclose last time I fought is I had broke my thumb about 2 weeks before the fight. And
did I tell you that I had put that on the podcast when you told me about it, and then I made Justin restart it because, well, so I think maybe you told me, you're like, ooh, we probably shouldn't talk about that. And I was like, yeah, we definitely shouldn't.
Well, because I immediately thought of Mark Hunt when he was like, oh, yeah, my memory's off, and he got pulled. And then I thought about Cain Velasquez, and when he was like, yeah, I used medical marijuana for my back,
nobody,
and he got pulled, and I was like,
nobody listens to our podcast, especially for boxing, but I was not going to be responsible for it. So I was like, Race broke his hand. Restart.
We're not doing it. And I didn't really. Same thing. I mean, the chances of it really causing a problem are slim, but still, I don't want to disclose that just yet. But yeah, I jacked my thumb up pretty good. And that was what I was nervous about, because it took about 10 days for the swelling to come down. So, but by the time I was doing the doctor check, it was down, so I wasn't too worried about it. Shook my hand, it was fine. So the thing that I was worried about him catching, they missed, which was good. And then the rest was just kind of like annoying. You're like, really? I'm competent. I'm having a conversation with you. I'm not, you know, punch drunk yet. You know? But, you know, I had a good conversation. I actually like the doc. I work in the medical industry, so I work with doctors all the time. And so.
Did you sign him up?
I tried. I was like, so what do you do? What's your specialty? It wasn't
my specialty. Not gastro?
Not gastro. Too bad, right?
Too bad. If he starts checking the other end, be like, yeah, yeah. Whoa! Is this what you do all the time?
Is that where your finger is supposed to go? Or?
Work? I got jobs open.
I guess it's good that they were that diligent in checking.
But so, I was going to say, because he didn't talk to me about that yet. We haven't talked about it at work, but from a fan's perspective, I do like to see that that is going more that way, because, and I know it's probably annoying for you guys, but I would like really good fighters to have longer careers, and I feel like fighters aren't protected enough. Maybe, like you said, it's annoying for you, and it's like, we're fine, we're fighters, we've been doing this forever, but
I'm gonna lie about anything that really, you know what I mean? Like, that's my thing. It's like, I am lying to you about my hand. I'm not disclosing that it's hurt, it's broken. I'm not gonna tell you because I want to fight. Mm-hmm. So
that's awesome.
It's in the kind of like, so that's kind of where I'm sitting. Like, you know, if there was anything wrong, I'm lying to you
because I already flew out here.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And this is actually going to come back into the end of the fight, because I actually talked to him after. But
so before we move on, what this reminds me of is Jordan went down and fought Carl Parisian in like jungle fights in Brazil, and they had like a gentleman's like agreement that the other team would be in there when they wrapped their hands to make sure that they weren't doing anything illegal. So it's really funny that you bring up like New York being like above and beyond, whereas like fights in Brazil, it's like, hey, our team's going to be there when you wrap your hands, and your team's going to be here when we wrap our fighters' hands, just to make sure there's no funny business.
Yeah.
Just so, the difference there is.
They did that, too. They offered that for my camp to go in and watch, and they actually sent someone in to watch me get wrapped, which was kind of funny, because that's not very common for me. I mean, but, yeah, they came in and watched me get wrapped, and then I didn't care where I figured.
Just because there's just no trust? They're like, well, I mean, what? So, for those like me that don't know, what would you do while you're wrapping your hands that would give you an advantage?
There are very specific rules on how the tape goes and where the tape goes, right?
Couldn't you put something metal underneath too?
Right.
So it's like, yeah.
So best case scenario, if you're trying to cheat, you're going to put something hard in there like metal or plaster.
Horseshoe.
Or freaking like
plaster. Plaster's a big one. Like plaster, that's happened before, right?
Right. So that's like the extreme end. That's the 10 on cheating. And then on a 1 on cheating is I put my tape too far over, right? But it's all in that same scale of I'm trying to get the tape more dense and more hard than it should be.
And really, it's not that hard to send in somebody just to check and then just be done with it. So it's not really that big of a deal in the end. That's cool. And usually, is your camp wrapping your hands, or do they actually have somebody from the commission that does
the
wrapping?
The commission's always watching. So the commission always
but they don't do it.
Wrapping. They don't do it. You have someone that you bring in.
Because when I watch people like wrap, then when I see them like sign it, like, have you seen them do that before? So it's like, I figured that was the commission doing it and being like, this is us. That way you can look at it and make sure that nobody ever
adjusted it.
Correct. So that's right. So the commission at the end of the wrapping, they sign off on it. So they know that it wasn't cheating. The preference to come in and watch is just so that you see this process from start to finish. Okay. At the end, you're seeing the finished product. Who knows what's under the tape? So
Who knows what's under. All right. So what's the walkout?
Well, I mean, first let me cut that back, because weigh-ins was pretty cool, right? HBO's there for the main
event. Oh, I forgot about the weigh-ins, yeah.
So, like, it's a pretty intense thing, and the weigh-ins, I'm sitting there for a good, you know, hour before I weighed in, which is so annoying as a fighter. I'm grateful that I wasn't really cutting a lot of weight. When I cut down to 145, I'm miserable for the last, you know, 3-4 hours. This time I was kind of chill. There's enough bright lights and things going on that I was like, okay, that's pretty cool. That guy's pretty cool. So it was fun. But yeah, they had a pretty big weigh-in spectacle for HBO and everything. So that was fun to see. I was the first fight on the card. So I was the last guy to weigh in. So I saw everybody go in and do the weigh-in thing. And that was.
Can I cut in just a little bit?
I didn't know that.
Right, like leading into the fight. So you had said, I don't know if you remember this, but you're like, yeah, I don't think they're going to televise it at all. And I was like, listen, guy, I have a streaming service that's definitely legal that I'm going to watch it on. They're going to have it. It might be through like Brazil or something, but I'm going to watch your fight. And you're like, I don't think they're going to have it. And I spent hours looking for it because I figured it was something like the UFC. And it, for me, for something as big as like a Madison Square Garden card, we actually had a conversation about this after because of how pissed I was. Like, why don't they televise them? I understand that there's some fights that maybe you wouldn't. Like, mm-hmm. the very first one, maybe. But, like, they didn't have anything leading up to the main card. My thought for the UFC was, and I thought boxing just did this, that you give those ones for free or televise them somewhere so it hypes people up to buy the pay-per-view.
Right.
And they didn't do that. Like, no.
Even just turn the cameras on and don't have any freaking announcers there. Yeah, just point the cameras at the ring and let it go.
Even if you have it, like, I don't understand it, and maybe they do have them on, but maybe they just have it for later. Like, if you get, like, a diamond in the rough or something like that, you have tape on. Like, it was, I was so mad. And I was like, Race was right. This stupid thing's not on.
Well, he was in the boxing subreddit asking people where he could watch it.
They did not answer. 250,000 people in that stupid subreddit, and nobody answered.
One, I mean, as we all know, MMA cards were on Facebook when they were doing undercards. Mm-hmm. And I mean, back in the original days of the UFC, they didn't really show any of the undercards, but sometimes they didn't even have an undercard. Mm-hmm. But by the time they had Facebook, all of the undercard fights were not televised, but they were shown in some way, shape, or form. And so, yeah, it was really bizarre to us, having watched MMA for the last decade, when you could watch it anywhere. Mm-hmm. To not have these fights be televised at all anywhere.
Yeah, from what I was noticing, and granted, it wasn't like they were pulling me into meetings and asking for my opinion, but from what I could tell, I think they really just focused on the three fights that were going to be on HBO. That's mm-hmm. really what they cared about. And everything else was kind of like, we do this because it's part of the process. The guy I fought, I'm pretty sure, is main event. That's who was the promoter. So they're building him up and giving him, get him experience, get him fights. But as far as how we make money for this fight, I was not a factor in there. I was an expense, not a, anything like that. Until the top three fights, they looked at every other fight as, we got to do 15 fights. That's what you do if you're paying for a ticket.
So pretty much it's just for people that are there live, right?
I mean, I contacted them and was like, hey, I have about 10, 15 people in New York and New Jersey that are going to come watch. Do you want me to selling those tickets? Never heard back from them. Like, they did not factor in what I could bring to the table. You know what I mean? Like, a promoter out here, I'm like, hey, I'm trying to sell some tickets. They're like, okay, let's do it. You know what I mean? Like, they're hungry for it. Them wasn't even on the radar of, how much they care. Because they're going to make all their money off of that HBO deal. I think it's the only thing. They didn't even care about selling out the
arena.
The arena, I don't think.
So in Utah, it was, about half full when the UFC came here? Mm-hmm. Give or take. So, I mean, I'm guessing they didn't. I'm guessing the highest sections of MSG were closed off.
So MSG is kind of broken up into two different parts. We were in the theater, so it's a little bit smaller than what they would do basketball games in.
Gotcha. Yeah,
so it's sense. In the theater, which you share the same locker rooms. But so, I mean, that's going there, right? They get us in there, take us in the locker room. And it was kind of interesting because I had fought in Texas in the San Antonio Dome. Did I say that right?
Yeah.
A month or two before. And we were, in the locker rooms. It was nice. Everything was in there. It was oh, okay. I kind of feel like a professional athlete again. This is cool. MSG is an old building. It's just old. And you can tell. You can feel the history. Feels super cool. All the energy in the world. But as far as, nice, amenities. It's not so much nice.
Rats running around.
Yeah. I mean, it's different than a Utah fight, right? Like a Utah fight, it's kind of different on the venue, right? So depending UVU on the venue is your setup, and the promotion will do what they can do. But sometimes, like you were talking about before the show, is you're ending up with cardboard on the floor, like at the Bellator tour, right? So sometimes you end up fighting at a rodeo place and it's like, oh man, bathrooms are porta potties and the socks. So it's above that level, but MSG, it's not like San Antonio Dome. If you're asking me for back, what's going on in the backstage, it's not super nice. So
that's interesting, and that's just because of how old it is, not because they couldn't provide. Yeah,
yeah. It was just,
and let's see, they actually walked you out across the street, and you just didn't know.
And it was built smaller, right? The rooms aren't built to be grand and huge back then.
Yeah,
they just It's a different level of history of where they were. So it was still cool. I mean, the walls kind of had a feeling. You know, it felt cool to be there.
Yeah.
But as far as, like, man, I feel like I'm in Donald Trump's hotel room. That's not the vibe of MSG. It's more like, hey, we're in the boiler room, and there's a lot of energy going on.
That's awesome. So what about the walkout?
Walkout was cool. Before I get there, sorry, I'm going to pull you back and talk about the referee, because the referee comes in, and the referee is like, hey, I want to introduce myself, go over the rules. And our referee was Lipton, who is, I think he was telling me he's, you know, refereed like 34, 35, maybe it was 55, I can't remember. But he had refereed champion fights. And like he's like, yeah, I love this. This is my passion. I coach on the side. And he would kind of talked about, you know, his history, and so he was super cool. He took a photo with me, and I'm really glad he was actually one of the referees, because he I'll get to the fight in a minute, but he was a great referee in a way that he communicated with each fight group as they went out. So he had a range on where I was, just as much as the doctor did, you know.
And he actually cared, like it showed that he was, no matter who you were, he actually, there was. Yeah, that's cool.
Which is, you know, I've never met a referee in MMA or boxing that I felt like didn't love their job, which is cool. You know, those guys, I'm sure, aren't getting, maybe they are, I don't know. Not local guys, aren't getting paid a huge amount of money to be there. But you can tell they have a love for the sport and the community.
So I would love to ref, honestly. I think it'd be a good time.
Yeah, I think it'd be fun too. Agreed. So he was cool to meet. And then they brought in the other guy to, you know, watch the wrap hands, which was fun. My coach Carol and his wife were my corner. They've been in boxing for a long time, so they were there in the back. And then I had family. My daughter was back at the hotel room, but I had some friends out there in the stands, so it was exciting to get ready. Walkout was super fun. That was the first fight on there. The commission, she was hilarious. So you kind of get assigned a commission person to be with you for the whole time. And she was, you know, this black lady with this huge red afro. I'm not sure if you ever watched the fight on my wife's Facebook, because she did post it. But
I said, I watched one that you sent me that I don't think was your wife's.
Oh, that was the YouTube.
Yeah, that one was the one that Lipton had a student there who sent it to me. So that was cool. But, yeah, she had this huge red afro, like just massive. My brother was making fun of her, calling her Krusty Clown. She was fun. She had a lot of boxing experience too. So walked out. You know, in any fight you go to, the first fight on there has probably the least amount of people watching, right? I mean, you watch prelims of UFC and there's like nobody in the stands yet. So I mean, I could hear all my friends and family cheering, which was cool. Got in the ring, and that's the walkout. The walkout was cool. They played Johnny Cash, "I Won't Back Down," which is a good song.
Well, the thing that I've learned is most of the people in the front seats, those seats are usually provided by HBO or whoever else to the big wigs that are going to be there. And they end up showing up late anyway. And when we went to Salt Lake and we went to all of the prelims all the way up, all of the rafters were full.
Yeah.
All of the what would be considered the cheap seats where we were sitting, everybody, you know, the true fans, as I do air quotes over here, wanted to watch all of them and get their money's worth. And you could watch it as more and more people that you could tell were kind of given tickets or provided tickets were walking in. You know, when the Jazz guy showed up and people were taking photos with him and stuff, and they put them, you know, front row so they could be on camera, you could tell that they enjoyed it, but they were there because they were given something. And that's what I've heard too with a lot of the boxing matches and stuff. They seem very empty until the main card, because a lot of those people are given free tickets or whatever, or comp tickets. So what about the fight itself?
The fight was rad. So the kid I was fighting was a young guy. It was his pro debut, and he was ready to go. He was excited. I was excited. First round, I felt was pretty close. I felt like I was better on my jab, but he was really good at combos. He was, anytime he threw a punch, he threw four punches. He was good at that. It was really impressive. He hit hard. I felt it was competitive the first round. It was good. Second round was rough. He hit me hard, and he hit me often. But it was good. I mean, I was still in it, but he definitely took over in the second, which was, well, it's always my worst round is the second round. But
after the adrenaline dump, do you have an adrenaline dump? Or
It's more of a cardio thing. My weakness in the fight game is cardio. I just don't have the same amount of time as a 21-year-old kid to train all the time. Not to give myself a bunch of excuses, but that's...
Yeah, who's to say this 21-year-old kid didn't already have three kids like you do?
Yeah, you know, I am, what do they call it, like a weekend warrior kind of thing, where it's like, hey, I show up on the weekend, a couple nights a week, and so cardio's never been my strong suit, which is funny because... My wife is a personal trainer, an Ironman, and I'm always like, my cardio sucks.
She does enough of the both of you.
I guess so. But no, the second round was rough. Here's why I bring it back to the doctor search, because they were like concerned about my well-being. And I'm like, I know I'm getting hit, and I know he's hitting me, and I know he won the round, but it's not like I was getting outclassed. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I will give him the round.
You told me you felt like the last fight in San Antonio, Rodriguez, you felt more outclassed than that one. Not to say anything against Ismael. It was his debut, right? But you were like, the San Antonio one, it was like night and day difference. Like, you were in this fight.
Yeah, that guy kicked my ass. I was in this fight. I was competitive. I was landing punches. But the doctors were acting like I was, you know, getting killed again. I'm like, well, come on. I'm fine. I'm joking with you. I'm looking you in the eye. I'm good. And they're like, are you going to finish the fight? I'm like, no, I'm going to go win the fight. Leave me alone. So I go and I do the fight. And the other rounds were close. I think watching it back, I definitely think he won two, three, and four. I think my best round was one. So I'm not complaining about the decision. He won the decision. I was glad to go the distance. I felt I was competitive, but those doctors were acting like...
That mess with you at all, or not really?
Well, I was too tired to care at the point in time. But when I got to the back, started talking to docs again. I'm joking around. Maybe too much. I don't know. But they were worried. I had a nice cut over my cheek, which I hope scars. It got me a little scar, but I'm hoping it stays there so I can always be like, this is the one I got in Madison Square Garden. But yeah, so they gave me a 90-day suspension afterwards, which I think was just crazy, because I was there the whole time, talking to everybody, having a good time. And then they put me in an ambulance, and I went and hung out in the hospital for the rest of the night, waiting to get checked out. So they said I had needed to get an MRI before I fought again. I had to get the cut taken care of, which is fair. And then I wanted to get my hand looked at, because I was thinking about getting surgery on it. And if it happens in the fight, then...
They cover it.
And I didn't know whether it was broken before, because I didn't go to a doctor and ask. But I had him take pictures.
You don't want that on your medical records.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
So then they found the fractures. I probably won't get it fixed. It feels like it's getting better every day. So I'm just going to let it
run. Now that you're no longer fighting?
Yeah.
And training or fighting or yeah.
But yeah, no, the whole experience, I mean, looking back, I wish I could have been able to go back and watch the fights and you know, hang out with my family and friends. But seriously, that hospital was hilarious. There was more police officers in the New York hospital. I'm trying to remember which one it was. But I don't remember. But there was more police than there were patients, and so that was funny.
Oh geez.
It was a Saturday night, so they would bring in some drunk dude handcuffed. And I mean, the New York doctors were we're getting everybody checked. So there's what I saw. So I was the first fighter. So I came in, and then five more came in after I did. And it was like,
Yeah, because the last thing they wanted something bad to happen to anybody. Just like, they didn't do
that. And they're being careful, granted, right? And most of that's being covered by the insurance, by the promoter pays for. So it's not really a financial deficit. They just want to be super careful with the health of the fighters, which I can totally respect and love. I mean, I've been in there in a corner where the guy I was cornering, he went out hard, and it was, you know, a scary situation. And in Utah, you know, they didn't really take good care of him, I didn't think. You know, they were kind of like, all right, sign this and have a good day. Yeah. I'm like, he's not really super lucid yet. And New York was polar, right? So if I gave Utah, I'd give him a 3, and if I gave New York, I'd give him a 10, and I want it to be about a 6 or a 7. So
but not too
it's
safe.
It's like, let's keep it in perspective, you know, kind of with the mindset of, I'm only going to tell you what I have to tell you so I can fight. Which, as a fighter, when these main fights happen, like I was watching the Conor McGregor movie where it was kind of breaking down what happened between him and Aldo the first time when Aldo pulled out because of a rib. I'm watching that going, Aldo didn't want to fight, right? Because if Aldo really wanted that fight, there would have never been an x-ray. It just wouldn't have happened, right? And maybe Aldo's smarter in his career, you know, where he's like, hey, I'm not taking a fight with something that can put me away. So, but in my mind, I'm like, no, I think McGregor's right in calling you out on that one, because McGregor was ready to go with a hurt knee, but Jose was ready to go with the rib.
I think that's the mindset, and we can get into this, especially from someone that has never fought before. I think it has a lot to do with how much you have to lose by losing a fight. So, where although if he loses that fight with a busted rib, he loses all of his pay-per-view points. He loses, you know, his not necessarily his name and his legacy, but he does lose his belt. He loses a lot of money, and he's got to sit next to freaking Conor McGregor and let him run his mouth the entire time.
Right.
So if that's me, I'm going to go get an X-ray, and if I shouldn't be fighting, I'm probably not going to fight. Now, if it's the other way around and it's like, hey, it's my UFC debut, I have a 3-fight contract, and if I pull out, I don't get any show money, and I owe my managers and I owe my gym and I owe, you know, everybody a cut of this, I'm going to lie my ass off and make sure that I fight and at least get show money.
Right.
And I think there is a point in fighting, and Chael Sonnen brought that up too, like people that are there to fight back in the day in the old UFC or back in Team Quest when those guys would fight no matter what and they fight 3 to 4 times a night and they were making $1,000 a fight and that's just what they wanted to do.
Right.
I think there's a much different mentality now with a lot of MMA fighters or fighters in general where they're like, you know what, I'm not going to do that. And
yeah.
But I think that's why I think that's kind of why I don't love Jose Aldo like I used to.
Yep.
And we do respect Conor more or a Stipe.
Yep.
Somebody that will fight anytime, anywhere, and they'll put it all on the line. Like Jose Aldo put himself so cautiously into, like, now he's lost 2 to Max Holloway. I don't really see how he digs himself out. He'd have to go on a pretty, like, Robbie Lawler-esque run to get, like, his title back. Like, and other than that, like, Conor could go fight for the 170 title if he wants because mm-hmm. people love him so much. So, I mean, it kind of did him a disservice in the end. But
it also goes back to when he was in his motorcycle accident, right? He was in a title fight, got in a motorcycle accident, and ended up having Jose Aldo.
Oh.
And a lot of people were like, why in the world was he ever even – if you're signed for a title fight, stay off your motorcycle.
Yeah, Cerrone too, right? Everybody.
Yeah, where he flipped his truck. And I kind of agree with that. I mean, these guys have to live their lives. But if I'm about to step into a fight that's going to make me $1 million, I'm not going to get on a motorcycle. Like, I'm not going to go off-roading in a truck that, you know, I may or may not flip. I'm going to wait until I make my money, and then I'm going to go end up doing it after that. And so...
Cerrone still fight. Let's be clear on that.
No, Cerrone will fight no matter what. And he's one of those guys.
He still made it out.
Right. And that's a little bit different between Cerrone and Aldo. But if you take a step back and you look at those guys' careers at certain points, Aldo had a much cleaner and a much... on paper career than Cerrone does, right? Because Cerrone kind of has some up and
but
down.
Moving but up, who has more weight if they wanted to make a run for the title at
and
this
who
point?
Makes,
I feel like.
Who makes
I bet
more
at
money
the end of the day,
fight?
Cerrone's made more money. I mean, that's
just
my guess.
Yeah, and without being champion, that's my guess too.
Right.
No, yeah, especially with off-card things, probably with, you know, going to events and signings and different things like that. Plus, I wouldn't be surprised if, like, Sportsman's Warehouse down in New Mexico doesn't have some kind of weird sponsorship with him to go just...
Does a Coors sponsor him or Budweiser, one of them?
Probably.
Pretty sure
I think
one of
he had a Budweiser hat, cowboy hat, right, for a while. I mean, and that's... He's going to have a career after. I mean, and Jose Aldo most likely will in Brazil. He did have a movie made, you know, after him and different things like that, which I hear was absolutely awful. I never watched it, but...
It's on Netflix, right?
Yeah. And so, I mean, in Brazil, you can tell that he's a pretty big deal. But in the United States, based on his fighting, he's never going to have, you know, an NFL player, you know, welcoming.
Yeah.
I'm
going to have to agree with you, though, with your analysis of how much do you have to lose, right? And I think that's kind of just people's mindsets. But, like, when I started fighting, I eventually had to tell Eric, he's the owner at Factum, who's got a, you know, really great career for a local guy. He's like, well, you shouldn't take this fight. It's just the fight you're trying to take is way more hard or way more difficult. I'm like, well, duh, it's going to be way more fun. Like, I think it's like, I didn't get into fighting to beat up people that I knew I could beat up. Right. Like that's not what excites me. Right. And so I was like, dude, I'm not taking fights that I know I can win because that's my goal is not to have, you know, undefeated record. My goal is to go in and have a great experience, right? And that's what got me to Madison Square Garden is having that mentality of I'll take a fight, I'll take a fight, I'll take a fight. granted, I don't think if my kid, who's, you know, I hope one day kind of goes into combat sports, I think that'd be super fun. I will not. I would definitely discourage him from taking my path. Right? It's like, no, you're 21 years old. Let's slow down. Let's take good fights as it's developed this correctly, which if you kind of look at Aldo's camp, you can kind of see that. But you take a guy like Diaz or a guy like Cerrone, those guys' mindset does not work in a methodic process.
No, it's reckless.
Yeah.
I was going to ask you about sponsorships. Does anybody approach you for that kind of stuff when you're doing those cards? Like, do you get anything? Is that another appeal for boxing, anything like that? Or
I got a great sponsor from a buddy from high school, Black Market. He does supplements.
Yeah.
Oh, that girl was, like, dating, like, the girl that got hired after us. She was dating a guy that works for them, right? And that's, I remember you saying that.
Oh, yeah.
But, so as far as, like, the Madison Square Garden, you don't have just people jumping on like that. Like, you don't have to tell me how much. That's none of my business. But I was wondering if the second you get, like, a Madison Square Garden, if they don't know a lot, but people start throwing sponsorships at you.
And I think part of it is because if you kind of look at it, it's like, you couldn't even find my fight.
Well, that's what I was wondering, if they ignorantly got into it. It's like, oh, this is sweet. It's a Madison Square Garden. Free publicity.
And I don't really have a manager going out there and being like, hey,
that's what you say your manager going on. For your agents and stuff will go out and
look those up.
Yep.
So I Bespokes, they do suits. So I rep them a lot on Facebook, social media, that kind of stuff. And Black Market, I like to rep too, because they take good care of me too. They throw some cash at me when I fight, which is fun.
Yeah, they got big quick. I remember when I first started seeing their supplements and their billboards and different stuff like that, they did really good marketing, and their products must be really good, because when I worked at a GNC, when I was like 21, so like 8 years ago, they didn't exist. And now it's like they're a legitimate company, and to do that in 5 to 6 years is really, really quick.
Yeah. Bryson, he's a super cool dude. So he would have succeeded in anything he did. I've known the guys for quite a while, so it's cool to see him being successful. And Blackmart, it is a good supplement. Like, it, all the pre-workouts I've tried, it's definitely my favorite. Gets that burn in the face. I'm not a physique guy, yeah. Right? And I've already complained about, you know, I don't really have a great cardio, but the supplements are good.
That's awesome. So what's coming up next? 90 days off, and then you're about 30 days into that 90 days?
Yeah, I'm coming up on my, 34th birthday. I might have two more fights in me if I'm lucky. I'll probably just start transitioning to coaching and cornering and stuff. Yeah. That's probably my path that I'm more excited for. I got in for cool experiences, and I can't really think of one that's going to be more fun than Madison Square Garden.
The Dallas Cowboys Stadium.
There you go. The Coliseum. I can't think of what else would be cool.
The Viv.
Do you want to do? Do you want to do more boxing, or do you want to do? You want to finish on MMA, or?
I should. I'll definitely do another MMA. And if boxing,
if it's local, you have to let us know. I want to go to one of your fights.
Mean, boxing is kind of like, hey, you want to fight this weekend? I'm like, yeah. So I take that a lot less seriously than MMA. I feel like I'm a little bit more like, okay, I actually have to train, because nothing sucks more than being underneath somebody getting punched for 15 minutes.
So when you fight, do you watch film with your coaches, or do you let them do most of the, you know, the analysis on whoever you're fighting?
Yeah, it's a team effort. I mean, there's not a lot of it of analysis breaking down. Most guys I fight don't have a lot of film on them.
You got to find someone filming from their phone that was their own coaches.
Right. I mean, there's that on. So I remember my first fight as an amateur, it was kind of fun because I had never fought anybody. And I was coming in with a wrestling background. My striking was subpar. I was like, well, at least I can always take him down and get on top. And then I start looking into the guy I'm fighting. He's like, purple belt, now black belt. Oh, shoot.
You're going to take him down and get some.
I got a strike.
Yeah. And I'm like, purple belt's not that great, is it? And then I was like, oh, no, that's almost black belt. Okay.
Looks like I'm not going to the ground.
But yeah, that.
Take him down right into a guillotine.
So, no, I didn't get a lot of film on him, but no, it kind of changes the way you approach your game plan. So I'm like, all right, sprawl and brawl it is. And we went down to the ground within like 2 minutes. He dragged me down, but I got top position and was able to pull off the win there just from ground and pound. So wrestling helps. So yeah. That was good.
Oh, no, I think if I had some sort of wrestling background, it probably would have led to much more motivation into getting into MMA. But the fact that I know that as soon as someone gets their hands on me, like single leg, I'm going down, like there's not as much motivation. Like the sparring and stuff where it's like, okay, cool, we're just going to stand. And it's like, all right, cool, that's good. But I had good buddy of ours in high school who was one of the biggest or one of the best wrestlers at like 125 or something like that. He was just a little guy. And he was known for getting intoxicated and picking the biggest guy in the room and making them look foolish by putting him in like the honeymooner and banana splits.
Well, I remember watching Moat go against Austin, and he was Austin's my cousin. He wrestled and he took second in state his senior year at heavyweight. Anyways, and then Moat was like 200. And he would out wrestle Austin. Like it's even with the size, like they're just so good.
The technique is and it's just like, crazy.
I can't make up years and years and years and years of in like couple weeks. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh, I'll just learn to sprawl.
Yeah,
it's like that's a well, that's I'll just learn to sprawl. That's it.
My lanky ass would have to. I would just throw my legs out as far as they could go and make sure that they couldn't get a hold to take me down. That's all I could do.
If they
sprawl.
Shoot, I'll just knee them.
Yeah,
it's easy.
Yeah,
I'm just gonna knee them. It's fine.
I just end up on my back, which is how they go out. Yeah, no, that would kind of put things in perspective. Where it's like this dude did wrestling at 115 pounds, me at 185. He takes me down at will and can do about anything he wants. Like it's. Yeah, and then you look at like back in the day where you know Tough One, where Josh Koscheck and like just the heavy wrestlers just ran through everybody else because all they did is just take them down and just.
There's also this other guy. It was really good. He actually just fought his name Khabib. Have you heard of him?
I've never heard of him. I don't watch any of the Russian fighters. Yeah, on principle.
Not very good. No, I was nuts. Yeah, that's so. You think for sure you're going to probably end in MMA, or do you think? One of each or no plans really, just whatever comes at your
There's
way.
There's no plans right now. They'd be, you know, transparent, but probably if I said I'm going to fight because my goal this year was to fight out of state. Was my goal. I was like, oh, I'm going to fight out of state. That sounds fun.
You mean 2018 was your, or last year's
2017.
Goal.
Okay. That was the goal last year. So I was like, I don't want to do it. And I kind of threw that out there, not really thinking it was going to happen. And then it did. And it was cool. And so this year when I made my predictions, because we do predictions as a family, I was like, all right, I'm going to fight internationally. Let's do that. So that's what I've thrown out to the universe. We'll see if it kicks back anything.
What is it? Venator? What's the Italian fight guys? The guys that Jason Mayhem Miller fought in last time and Emil Meek knocked out.
The ones
Paul
that are
Harris.
Like the ones that are off the like the. The commission, like they don't follow anything. Yeah, I don't know.
It was called Venator, and it was Paul Harris, right? The guy that would always hold on to everyone's arm, just you know, three
leg,
or 4 seconds to like me. That's what it was. Their knees,
ankle lock,
and then Mayhem Miller. They both fought out there because it was off. Yeah, outside of the U.S. commission, because both of those guys will never fight in the U.S. again. And that's where Emil Meek, who I actually believe fights this weekend. Yep, there he is. He fights Usman.
You know what, who Emil Meek reminds me of? Have you ever seen the techno dancer guy? The Viking techno? You're going to have to watch that video after, but he reminds me of that guy.
He reminds me of anybody on the show Vikings.
It's pretty much the same thing.
Yeah.
So it's the exact same thing.
Well, apparently him and his girlfriend are like fashion models.
Are together.
Like physical models out there. Or physique models are together. Him and his girlfriend are dating, officially.
Sorry,
breaking news. Breaking news. You heard it here first.
What are we getting into next? Are we going to do predictions for next year what?
We're about the 45-minute mark, so we can talk about the card or we can get into predictions. I want to hear
I don't care about really the card that much. We can talk about it after. I'm more
Uriah Hall, Vitor Belfort?
I just said I don't care about it, Justin. No, I'm just kidding. We can talk about a few of them, but I'm more interested in our predictions, in my opinion, because that's going to go all year. All
right, I got predictions for this card coming up. It's this year, and it's relevant. Paige VanZant versus Jessica Rose Clark. Paige VanZant. I think they're throwing her somebody so she can get back on the winning track, but that's me.
She's allegedly going up to 125, right?
And to win the belt.
Also, Valentina Shevchenko's apparently going down, so we might see that fight at some point.
Oh, my goodness.
The fight nobody wants to see.
Paige VanZant getting murdered.
Yeah, that's not going to be great. And this is the Choi Stevens fight. Uriah Hall versus Vitor Belfort.
And then Usman versus Meek. Meek hasn't been able to fight yet in the UFC because of his passport issues. Make sure you get your passport taken care of if you're going to fight internationally.
That's a good point.
Yeah. All these guys not getting their passports or their work visas taken care of.
Unless you fight in Mexico.
I mean, Darren Elkins, the damage is on this card versus Michael Johnson, which is weird that they're not on the main card over Usman versus Emil Meek. Don't you think that Michael Johnson and Darren Elkins should be on the main card above them?
Mm.
When's the last time Johnson won a fight?
It was right before he lost to Khabib. Yeah, he knocked out
Dustin Poirier.
There it is.
Oh, okay. So he's on a win-loss win?
Mm-hmm.
Not a loss win.
He lost to Gaethje, too. So he lost. He beat Poirier. That's right. He lost to Khabib. He lost to Gaethje. Yeah. Now he's fighting Elkins. And Elkins is one of those guys that you would never want to fight like in a real-life fight to the death, because that guy would never give up. I think Elkins has more. I think the only person
that fight
has,
to the death, nobody gives up in that.
Well,
if you're going to die, no, you don't give up, Justin.
I don't know. I mean,
I was in a fight to the death. I didn't give up. The other guy did.
I leave my wife a lot of insurance money, so who knows? But no, I mean, he's the one that won in the third round. I think it was Nico Case. No, it was Bektik. So he beat him in the third, and he was getting crushed. And then he beat him in the third. He just beat Dennis Bermudez. Like, Elkins is actually, he's tough as nails, man. And so he's fighting, he's weird as shit, but he's tough as nails. And so he's on a 4-fight win streak coming in against Michael Johnson, who's on a 2-fight losing streak. And Elkins is a wrestler. I mean, he should be able to stay on his feet. So, I'm interested. It's the FS1 prelim headliner. So I'm thinking they're thinking it's going to be exciting enough to get people to watch on FS1. Or to stay tuned on FS1. I guess since it's already on FS1, it just goes straight through. All right. So I'm going to name some people, and you guys have to tell me how their year is going to go. You ready? Cain Velasquez.
Go ahead. He's going to fight once.
I'm going to say not fight at all.
You don't think he fights at all? He's going to say something about using medicinal marijuana, and they're not going to let him fight? Who does he fight? Do you give him a warm-up fight against someone in the top 15? Like a Tim Johnson or like a Junior Albini, someone that's kind of up-and-coming but still within the...
Has he fought...
Stefan Struve?
No. He's already... Hold on.
Yeah, he crushed Struve. I've got here. So here's your heavyweights. Miocic is champ. Ngannou, Overeem, Verdum, Hunt, Lewis, Volkov, Tybura, Curtis Blaydes, who fights this weekend against Mark Hunt. Not this weekend, sorry. Like the next 2 months.
That's who they should give him if they want him to win. It's Mark Hunt.
Mark Hunt could still knock him out, though.
That's the fight to win.
I mean, it sells a lot of tickets.
That's the fight they should do if he's got the...
That's what they did with Lesnar.
I say give him Verdum.
I think he gets a warm-up fight first. I think he gets someone within the top 15 that is not going to beat him. Like a Tim Johnson or like a Travis Brown, who's already beat.
My opinion, he's the only one I can see beating Ngannou.
Yeah.
So you already know my prediction of who gets the heavyweight belt this year. So
speaking of that, Ngannou, what happens to him? How's his 2018 look?
I don't think Cain beats him, but I think he's the only one that has a chance to beat him.
So he wins the belt against Stipe in February and then holds it all year?
Yeah. Your opinion?
No. I think the champ holds the belt.
You think Stipe's keeping it?
Yeah.
The only reason
he keeps it all year?
All year, yeah.
The only reason I say that is
when's
because
the last time that happened? Because I feel like...
Never.
Heavyweight, yeah. No,
heavyweight
like has never happened.
If he wins this fight, it's the record for longest title defenses at 3.
Which is what, 3?
Yeah.
Ouch. Yeah, no, I think he keeps it. Remind me where he's training out of.
Ohio?
Yeah.
I think he trains at his own gym. Mm,
that's not what I wanted to hear. But yeah, I don't know. I'm sticking with it.
I mean, they've done well.
The only reason I say this is because we watched humongous Alistair Overeem get Ngannou up against the cage, and you just saw him put all of his weight trying to just take him down. Like, he wanted to take Ngannou down. And I understand Stipe's a better wrestler, but Ngannou didn't even budge. He just put his weight against it, and I don't think Stipe wants to stand with him. I know he'll try because he's good at boxing. I don't know, man.
I think Stipe stands with him until he gets caught the first time.
I think he wins the stand-up.
He is a gold glove boxer.
He's got what?
How
many finishes does he have in the first round?
Did we under...
I think he pointed that out on his Twitter, actually. I think it's 5 first-round finishes.
Yeah, but over him, I mean, he's also not too shabby on the feet.
Here you go.
Yeah, but...
Andre Arlovski, round 1 KO. Fabricio Verdum, round 1 KO. Alistair Overeem, round 1 KO. Junior Dos Santos, round 1 KO. So his last 4 fights have ended in the first round. And then Mark Hunt was a 5th round KO.
I would love for him to. I love Stipe. But
Hunt should have been a 1st round knockout. True. But he's made of different type of... He's just got a head.
His last loss was the JDS by decision years ago. And then he just came back in and just crushed JDS. So, I mean, he could. I mean, I think he's been under... Ever since he got beat by Stefan Struve, like his first or second fight into the UFC.
Knocked out by Stefan Struve.
Knocked out by Stefan Struve. He's been, I think, somewhat overlooked. Even though he sort of just kind of walked through every... Not walked through everybody. Well, yeah, the last four fights, he walked through everybody. He did get caught by Overeem. Verdum didn't really have a chance, but Verdum came out there very unintelligently and probably fought him the worst that he could. He came out there and tried to outstrike him and then ran at him and got caught with the counter and just blown up. So I think Verdum, if Verdum fights him again, if he gets his hands on him and he takes him down, he just submits him. I think Verdum is the better all-around fighter. His striking is just so subpar compared to Stipe that unless he gets hands on him, he's got no chance.
There was a point in time where I thought Verdum would go down as the greatest heavyweight of all time.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And then...
After he beat Fedor?
Yeah. And then he won the belt. Yeah. You know, I mean, Verdum had a great year.
But that's when he was likable. And now Verdum went from likable to heel, right?
I don't know if I ever liked him, to be honest.
I'll like him forever for doing the teep on Edmund. I'll love him forever.
I forgot why I disliked him so much, and then I rewatched his fight with Alistair Overeem, the last one in Strikeforce, and was like, yeah, that's why I dislike this guy.
He
pulled a Damian Maia where he just laid on his back the entire time and wouldn't fight.
Yeah, but he has never done that again.
Because he couldn't.
Yeah, and he's done great.
He would get humiliated if he did it.
So you don't like Damian Maia still?
Yeah, I've got my issues with Damian Maia for the same reason. All right, so let's move to the next one. Robert Whittaker.
Ah, man.
He's got Luke Rockhold next. Carson said Rockhold beats him.
You know, I'm gonna go with Carson. I think he's amazing at power, but. Yeah, I'm gonna agree with Carson.
Rockhold
had a rough couple fights, but I think he's got a better camp. He's more athletic, and so I'm gonna stay there.
I think Whittaker keeps it. I think he potentially loses sometime during this year because that is one of the toughest divisions right now, which is awesome. But Rockhold beat David Branch, which means nothing. And David Branch is fighting Yoel Romero now, which is two wrestlers against each other, which is going to be really interesting because Branch's striking is not that great. He lost Michael Bisping. He beat Chris Weidman. He beat Lyoto Machida. I mean, I'm just glad that we get to talk about this division again. For a while, it was just like, oh, Bisping's holding it up. Or, you know, Rockhold at the same time was somewhat injured. And then Lyoto Machida, Anderson Silva, watching all those guys kind of fall out. We needed Souza and Romero and Rockhold and Whittaker all to step up to really make that interesting again.
So how long does Whittaker hold it?
Oh, man. If he beats Rockhold, he's already beat Romero. He's already beat Souza. I think he beats Weidman. I think Gastelum could beat him just because he's always the freaking underdog, and I think Robert Whittaker and Kevin Gastelum have a very close to the same fight style where they kind of look slow and sloppy but are actually very methodical and well much better put together than they seem to be.
So you've got to think that Gastelum wins that fight because you said that you think Gastelum's going
to
get
the belt. What I think happens is what could potentially happen is Whittaker loses to Rockhold gets injured. He's out for 6 months. They do Weidman versus Gastelum or like Romero versus Gastelum or some crap like that. And then Gastelum ends up winning the belt. That's how it would have to work for him to do it. But I could see Gastelum getting fast tracked if, you know, GSP obviously isn't going to fight at 145 or 185. Weidman has all kinds of weird medical issues. Souza hasn't fought in quite a while either. And I think his last fight was a loss. That's how long it's been. I mean, Yoel hasn't fought since he lost to Whittaker. Apparently no one in that division fights. That's the problem.
Yeah.
Souza fights Brunson on the 27th. He lost to Whittaker.
That's a good fight.
He hadn't fought since Tim Bosch in February.
I like Brunson versus Souza. It's a good striker versus grappler.
Souza's just a monster, man. He is an absolute monster. So Yoel has a fight. Souza has a fight. I don't think Weidman does, right?
I'm not sure. I'm
looking now. I don't
know. Nah, there's nothing here. Yeah, and he beat Gastelum his last fight.
Yep. So he beat Gastelum his last fight. So, I mean, Weidman, you think they're lining Weidman up then for whoever wins out of Whitaker and Rockhold? Weidman versus Rockhold 2? Because, I mean, everyone else is wrapped up. Yoel's wrapped up. Souza's wrapped up. GSP's not going to fight there. He just beat Gastelum. Bisbing's not coming back for a while. You think Bisbing retires this year, Grace?
I hope so. I hope he's pulling off TV.
then he's going to commentate. And we have to hear from him always. Not even when
commentating.
All right,
that's a good call.
So here's two questions, and we got to get through these kind of speedily. Tyron Woodley, does he keep the belt the rest of the year?
Yes.
No, GSP is getting the belt. You think GSP? In November.
I think Covington could beat him.
In November.
All the way out? He's not going to fight until November?
Well, I don't know if he's going to fight, but he's going to fight for the belt in November. It's the birthday card. I'm telling you.
The UFC's birthday. All right. So
here's why he keeps it, and I'm sorry you want to go faster, but
no, you're good.
When Anderson Silva was Anderson Silva, he was willing to put on boring fights, and that's why Tyron Woodley will hold the belt.
Not to lose?
He's fighting to maintain his belt.
See, I don't ever agree with that with Anderson Silva. He didn't have boring fights.
What are you talking about?
The Maia fight. He has one boring round, and then he knocks him out in the second.
That fight was the most boring fight I've ever seen in my entire life.
Sure.
Watch it.
I mean, Anderson Silva's a boring guy unless he has someone to instigate excitement.
Name one off the top of your head. Name one other boring fight that Anderson Silva's been in.
Thought the Luter fight was lame. He's too dominant.
You're going way back.
That's not when Anderson Silva. Bullshit, we're talking like when he.
That's when he was.
No, because because he came in and beat Chris Leben, and he became Anderson Silva when he crushed Chris Leben. Because Chris Leben was just a zombie.
I mean, all the title defenses, he had a handful that weren't the best fights of all time. Like, we're talking the upkick against Vitor Belfort.
Cote, that fight was awful.
Okay.
That was Cote's fault, too.
But. Yeah.
You just pull it off the top of your head. No, you had to go back to the record for it.
I have to. Damian Maia was bad. Forrest Griffin was awesome. Talos Latus and Patrick Cote were both really bad.
I don't even remember those fights.
Exactly. So he beat James Irvin.
And that's what I'm talking about. That's the era when Anderson Silva was Anderson Silva.
So he beat Marquardt. He beat Franklin. He beat Henderson in a row.
All the Franklin fights. I guess Franklin fights were okay.
Yeah, Franklin fights are the ones where he just destroyed him. Yeah.
Where you wanted them to call it.
Yeah, where he Muay Thai clinched him to death.
On both fights, right? No, like, I mean, we're talking maybe 30% of his fights weren't some of the, like, the best fights of all time.
Cote and Latus were bad, and then he stepped up and fought Forrest Griffin and beat him handedly, and that was awesome. Then he fought Damian Maia after, and then Chael Sonnen wrestled him for 5 rounds. Then he front-kicked Vitor Belfort.
Which is cool.
And then he beat Yushin Okami.
In a boring fight.
Yeah, in a boring fight. But that was also Yushin's fault. And then Chael...
He also knocked Yushin out, though.
Yeah, he did.
So in the second round, so it couldn't have gone boring for too long.
Stephen Bonner.
The Chael fight, it could have been boring because Chael just wrestled him, but it was ended up being one of the most exciting fights ever because of how he finished it. Chael, he knocked him out.
You can't beat somebody for 24.5 minutes.
In what world can you beat somebody up for 23 minutes and then wrap his leg around you and be considered the winner? I love Chael.
Good old Chael song.
I don't know. In my opinion, it's like maybe 30% of Anderson's fights aren't the best fights of all time.
It was the Cote, Latus, Damian Maia. So apparently just don't put him against Brazilians and you're okay.
Yeah. But he Vitor. Was willing to let those fights be boring.
Sure.
And Nate Diaz for another example. That was a boring fight.
I think he blew out Cote's knee. One of them got their knee blown out.
Yeah.
So Woodley keeps it. So here's the next one that you and I discussed last time. Who does Conor McGregor fight first, if he fights in 2018, which I believe neither of us think he's actually going to fight? No, you said November, right? He fights in November.
My prediction is he fights Ferguson International Fight Week. So that's going to be July. And then, again, birthday card. They want Conor headlining that one. And so it's going to be 25-year reunion in November. I think he fights Khabib then. That's my prediction on that.
I haven't looked at the calendar. But
just know that Ramadan, you can't put anything in there that's significant.
Which is either June or July, depending on the year and timing and that kind of stuff.
So Khabib and Ferguson will fight first. And then that's the champ. Ferguson wins that fight via submission. Conor destroys Ferguson on the feet. Nate Diaz versus Connor. End of the year, December, November-ish.
November, so the card?
For the 155.
I don't think we see Ferguson, Khabib. That's my
prediction. A lot of people are saying that Khabib should jump Tony Ferguson to fight Conor McGregor.
Conor McGregor's not going to be in the ring until after July.
I don't think Conor's going to fight again in 2018.
I think he will.
I do too.
He's got his whiskey coming out, apparently, or tequila or whatever he's got. He's got nothing but money to make and time to burn.
Curious. I'm going to Google
how much he's worth.
No, how much the best. I'm not the biggest drinker in the world, so how much can you really make off vodka?
That's Diddy. He said he's going to make that Diddy money, and I think Diddy is the number one.
Do you have Cristal or something?
He's the number one rapper. Number one.
He's not a rapper. He's a producer.
Well, yeah, but he's like in that industry, right? Over Jay-Z, Diddy, Drake, and all of those. I think Diddy is above and beyond the biggest money maker out of all of them.
Because he was producing before. Like he.
Yeah, but he started, like 50 Cent went into like vitamin water. Diddy went into some kind of tequila, I believe it is. And so if done correctly, there are a lot of people that have lost money on producing or creating alcohol. I think they make fun of a lot of people. I think Entourage had one of those where he got into some kind of liquor and they ended up losing a bunch of money.
I know 50 Cent made more money off of vitamin water than he ever did on this.
Yeah, but then he had to come out too and be like, apparently vitamin water is not actually vitamin water. It's not good for you. So it's all sugar and water.
But I made a lot of money, so yeah. It's all good.
Well, and it's owned by Coca-Cola too, I think. So that's quite the digression.
So
we all have a different opinion of what
happens. What do you think?
I don't think he fights in 2018.
Okay.
At all.
Yeah.
I think he's establishing his business and sitting on his McGregor promotions, and until he can actually get that involved in WME, like he said, he's not going to fight in he's not going to fight in the UFC again until he gets a promoter's stake.
So, somebody came out with a prediction. I apologize that I'm not giving you credit for it, but they are saying that Endeavor is trying to shop the UFC around now, that it's not going the way that they did. They need Conor on the face if they do want to do that. And I kind of agree with them a little bit. I think they want out of that deal. And kudos to the Fertittas for getting as much as they did out of it.
$4 billion.
That was far and probably above and beyond what it's worth right now. But being said, he has to fight for them to be worth anything. And I think they take a little bit of a loss to make more on the other end if they are trying to sell it. And I think that he does fight.
Then he can't fight Khabib because Khabib beats him. He's got to fight Ferguson.
Well, Ferguson, like I said, I feel like that's International Fight Week.
Or Nate Diaz.
And they can't let Ferguson fight Khabib before then because he will lose, in my opinion. You think he'll submit him.
And then he wouldn't be able to fight until after July anyway.
Yeah. And so then it would go right into November. One other thing we got to talk about because we mentioned this. I think that's probably it for the UFC. Our predictions for the Bellator Heavyweight Grand Prix for the year.
We're at an hour. You want to keep going or no?
This one's quick. We'll talk about each of us why. And so we first have Chael versus Rampage. We don't have to go through the whole thing. And then Mir versus Fedor. And then we have Mitrione versus Big Country. Bader versus King Mo. Who's your pick for the year, and then we'll go to race?
I think Bader, and if it's not Bader, then it's Roy Nelson.
So the winner, okay.
Bader's going to be the winner.
I'm going to go with Chael.
You're going Chael.
I'm going Chael.
Chael already lost to Tito.
Here's why. That guy has never won a championship of anything, and so this is the time.
This is my only problem with that, is his next fight has to be against a heavyweight.
He's a 185er.
So?
If not a 170.
You just talked to me for a good 5 minutes about how a 115 pounder used to kick your trash.
Yeah, I know, but I think no, you're right. I think Roy Nelson. I mean, he's already beat Mitrione. Roy Nelson has he can take a beating and he can submit any of these guys.
Chael's willing to deal a boring fight.
He can't. Olympia. He can't submit Mir.
He can't submit Mir. No. But I don't think he gets the Mir. I think he loses the Bader before he gets the Mir.
My prediction is Mir wins it because he can beat any of these guys.
He's either too old.
Striking. They're all old. What are you talking about?
No, Bader's a young gun in here. He's just underweight.
He's the only one that's young. All the other ones are old as hell. Mitrione, not too old. But he can.
And he's the highest quality wrestler at the middle weight class, and he can stay
wrestler,
off of his...
Wrestler, but not grappler. Yeah, and Nelson are better grapplers than he is. Well, and Chael, for that matter. No, Chael's a better wrestler.
No. 100%. Well, yeah, but he's... But Bader's naturally bigger than Chael Sonnen is. So he just...
Brace, what did he say about the 115er?
No, I understand. I understand that. But if I had a wrestling background and 30 pounds, I'm pretty sure I would have been all right.
Doesn't have 30 pounds.
Well, fat Chael Sonnen might be the same weight.
Mir can either submit you, any of these guys, or he could knock any of these guys out.
Yeah, but Mir can't train for a whole year straight.
That's true. Especially, and he's got to watch out for that horse meat.
I don't think they're testing. They're just going to let it go.
No, they're not testing. Not with Fedor. Not with, yeah.
They're just going to let it go.
Mir is probably, I can't say, I was going to say he's my favorite fighter of all time, which isn't true. He's in the top five, though. His story, I think, is super cool. But
he's
that
your
guy,
favorite fighter that's been in a motorcycle accident. Yeah.
No, I can't
he's
say
above
that.
Jose Aldo. He's above Jose Aldo.
But that guy's story is cool, right?
Because
he's been in the game a long time. Uh-huh. He's come back. He's made some big improvements. He beat Brock the first time, which is the time that really mattered. But the dude cannot stay in shape for longer than a six-month period of time.
Remember when he ballooned up to fight freaking Shane Carwin?
Yeah.
And it looked like he put on just like 25 pounds of muscle.
Yeah.
That was nutty.
But then he took the next 2 years off. Yeah. I don't think he worked out since. You know what I mean? Like he, that's his Achilles heel is staying in the game focused. I don't think
he is the most likely to get injured in training, I would say, of all of these
guys. If you reframe the question, who wins these fight at their peak and on their best fight, I think Mir wins. Even against Fedor at his peak, I think Mir wins. But that's not what it is. It's a tournament, long run. You got to be good multiple times in a row.
Well, but these are like 2 months. These are normal fights. So this isn't even a Grand Prix. Like the first one's like January. The second one's February. The next one's in like May. Like,
this their fights. Fedor versus Mir is in April. So
it's all going to happen this year, though, right?
No, probably second fights. All of the first fights should probably happen. I see Rampage potentially dropping out, and they're going to have an alternate have to step in. Yeah. But Bader right now is probably the closest to his peak. He's a great Division I wrestler, and his striking is good enough to keep him on top.
Let's all put our money where our mouth is. We're going to put $20 on our picks.
I'd do it. I'd put $20 on Bader.
I put $20 on Mir.
I got to find someone that's putting bets on this.
And you have to go out there and put $20 on Sonnen.
I will.
No, don't do it.
All right. I lost so much money on Holly Holmes, though, for the record. But, hey, let's do it.
That's right.
She did great, actually. It was tied
totally
going in.
Totally in my favor. Like, if she would have finished her – if Holly would have won – this is a different story. But if Holly would have won in the fifth, I would have been up, like, $400.
Yeah, off of, like, a $5 bet. Yeah.
Like, it would have, like – come on, Holly.
And then she lost the fifth round. That had been heartbreaking. Yeah. Anything else you guys want to throw
it
out there real quick?
Well,
Race, thanks again for joining us. You're invited back anytime.
Thanks, man. Thanks for having me.
Next time you get a fight, let us know, and we'll invite you back to talk about who you're fighting and what's going on.
Sounds good.
Thanks all of those for tuning in, and we will see you next week.
Peace.
Bye.